Well, hello and welcome to the Star Blades. This is it. Sheffield United are in the playoffs and it's Nottingham Forest in the first leg. I'm Steve. And as always, I'm joined by our Blades correspondent, James Shield. James, first leg Saturday. How are you feeling?
Excited. And why wouldn't you be? Listen, there's no point in being scared about going into a playoffs. This is what Sheffield United were. It's not what they were aiming for right at the beginning of the season, but after that pretty mediocre start that they had. Certainly it was the top six, I think, from pretty much the start of September onwards. Well, they've achieved that target. There's a chance of going up. There's the prize in these games is promotion. And so, for me, what's not to like?
I have to say, as a reporter, this is probably the best time of the season. I mean, it's my first experience, but for you, you've been through this a few times. I wanted to ask you, does this one feel any different to times gone by?
Yeah, it does, actually. And it feels remarkably different. And I'll tell you why, Steve. As you've said, I've done covered a number of playoff campaigns with Sheffield United over the years. And not always, but certainly on one occasion, I can always remember there was almost this tangible sense of trepidation amongst the squad going into the playoffs. Sheffield United's record, as we know, isn't great in these end-of-term knockouts. And on the particular occasion that I'm talking about, I won't embarrass or disrespect the squad and the managers who were at the club at the time. But I can remember driving up to the training ground. We had a playoff press day. I'll put my teeth in there, sorry. And I was really excited. Once again, there's a chance of going up here, and I know the record isn't great, etc., etc. I left, and about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I left that training ground absolutely bricking it myself, because there were so many nerves up there. The manager at the time, he volunteered all the talk about this record and let's try and put that right, etc., etc., etc. And that had transmitted itself onto the players. And then it transmitted itself onto me and everybody else. And I know, in a sense, some people will be shouting at the screen saying, well, that's not important because you weren't out there playing. And thank God that I wasn't, because otherwise Sheffield United probably wouldn't have even been in a playoff campaign. But I do think it was important because it gave you a little insight into the headspace, into where the mentality of that squad was at. And as I said, it was almost infectious, the nerves. This time around, I'm really glad to say the narrative seems to have changed. This now is viewed, this group of players, now they're not superhumans, that, you know, other players at Sheffield United would have been exactly the same as the bunch we've got now. But this group of players seem to view this as an opportunity. They seem to view it as something good. They seem to view it as these are the type of games that successful footballers should be involved in. And they are. And the narrative is totally different. The only time I've ever heard any mention about the Sheffield United's terrible record in the playoffs was when a journalist offered it up to the manager during his pre-match press conference, and it was shut down pretty quickly, and quite rightly so, as Paul Heckingbottom said. Different group of players, different management, different opponents. What the hell has what has gone on before got to do with now? And the answer to that is absolutely nothing, unless you want to go down this rabbit hole of gloom and doom and nerves and almost turn the playoffs into some sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm really pleased as well, because I think, and maybe it's the manner that Sheffield United have got into the playoffs this time around, with a sort of a half a season surge, if you like. But I think the conversation amongst supporters is very, very different this time around.
Yeah, it's one of those things, it will come to an end at some point, I guess. But I know what you mean, just on that last point about the manner in which they've qualified. They've not dropped out of that automatic promotion race at the death. You kind of feel like you're a winner already just for being here.
I know where you're coming from, but I respectfully disagree, Steve, because I agree with you to the point that Sheffield United have given themselves an opportunity that even probably 3 months ago, a lot of us wouldn't have thought was not impossible, but not likely. So they've achieved something in that sense. But ultimately, this season was all about winning promotion. Sheffield United made no bones about it themselves that they were expecting to be challenging for promotion. When you look at the, now I'm not going to go into all of the financial stuff again and make some points that I've been making in the newspaper over the past couple of months about the running of the football club, but Sheffield United undoubtedly do have an advantage over other teams in the division, not all, but some, in terms of the fact that they've just spent 2 years in the Premier League as well. So that brings certain financial benefits, or it should. So it's all about grasping that opportunity. If Sheffield United don't go up this year, and Paul Heckingbottom has been very, very blunt about this as well, as he said, and he said to somebody today, if we don't go up, I'm not going to view this season as a success. Lots of good things have happened, yes, but it's not a success. And I was really pleased as well to hear Morgan Gibbs-White, who was the player that was put up for interview, make this point as well. And he was asked again by a colleague of mine, well, because you've been on this remarkable run to get into the playoffs, do you almost go into this, you know, viewing it as if there's nothing to lose? And he just sort of fixed his eyes on him and said, well, there is something to lose. There's games of football, there's pride and there's promotion. So I don't buy this sort of free hit nonsense that gets peddled. I don't buy it at all. There's no such thing as a free hit in professional sport. But yeah, they've done really, really well to give themselves this opportunity. But the hardest part is to come now.
Yeah. Before we come on to Forest, we'll touch on Chris Basham's new deal. Well, it's a piece of news that seems to be welcomed across the board. 2 years. Good bit of business?
Yeah, so it should have been welcomed because, well, I say because, I think there's a couple of reasons why this is really important for Sheffield United. One, it removes the air of uncertainty that there was around a absolutely crucial player. So that's a good thing. Two, and this was a point that I put to Paul Heckingbottom when the news was confirmed and when he sat in front of us to discuss that and obviously the game against Forest. And I said to him, or I asked him, how much would it cost Sheffield United to replace Chris Basham in the transfer market? And the reason I asked that question was because there's not many players like Chris Basham out there. Chris Basham plays that position, the overlapping centre half. He's almost made it his own. He's absolutely excelled in it. Now, there are players out there who can do that, but most of them, I think it's fair to say, are playing in the Premier League. And therefore, most of them, even if Sheffield United do manage to go up this year, are probably going to be beyond Paul Heckingbottom's budget, although we still don't quite know what that budget is. Paul Heckingbottom doesn't know what it is, but don't get me started on that. Ridiculous. But it's so, so important that Sheffield United, and I'll praise them on this, have recognised that there was no point in simply triggering the 12-month extension that was contained within Chris Basham's deal. Because all that does is kick the can not very far down the road. Because in 6 months' time, they're probably going to be in exactly the same position, discussing the future of a player who I don't think at this point in time, through no fault of their own, but through financial reasons, I don't think they can replace. So what it's done, it's enabled Paul Heckingbottom to retain the services of a player who has become so integral to how Sheffield United want to play. It's almost ridiculous. And I mean that in a good way. But also, it's bought Paul, his assistants, and the recruitment department at Bramall Lane time to do two things. One, hopefully get a budget out of the hierarchy. And two, then, when they know exactly how much they've got to spend, begin identifying people who can possibly come in at some point and either immediately begin challenging Chris Basham for a role in United starting 11. And I say challenging because the way Paul Heckingbottom was speaking and the way Chris Basham has performed, you suspect he's got a good few seasons left in him yet. Or if they can't find somebody who can immediately come in and challenge him, find somebody, identify somebody who has got the qualities that Sheffield United could then develop to make sure over a period of, say, 6 months or so, they can come in and do a job maybe in another position in the meantime, but they can develop them to be the long-term successor to Chris Basham.
Yeah, no, definitely a good bit of business. One player I'm sure plenty of Blades fans would want back next season, Morgan Gibbs-White. As you said, he spoke to us earlier today. He was in confident mood, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and quite rightly so, because it's funny, isn't it? And I'm going to be slightly critical of my own profession here. We all bemoan the fact that there's very few characters left in professional sport, and that often sportsmen and sportswomen are more bothered about upsetting their sponsors or a company who's endorsing them, or, you know, or even the in-house media team at the club where they're playing. And many of these players, and to their credit, again, this doesn't actually happen at Sheffield United, but have been media trained to within an inch of their life, whereby any sort of personality or genuine sort of insight and intellect has been absolutely drummed out of them. Morgan's not like that, I'm pleased to say. He's a good interview. He speaks his mind. And that's what we want. We want these characters. So in the one sense, we sort of like, you know, bemoan the fact that players won't tell you what they actually think anymore. And then in the next breath, you'll have a room full of journalists sort of raising an eyebrow when a player comes out and says, yeah, do you know what? I think we're the most feared team in the playoffs. I think we're the team to beat. I think we can go up. What's the alternative to that? He sits there, shrugs his shoulders and goes, well, I'm not sure if we're going to get up or not. And, you know, Forest are really, really good. And dear me, God, we're going to be all up against it there. No, you need that little bit of ego. Morgan Gibbs-White, in no sense, was disrespecting Nottingham Forest. Of course he wasn't. But he was talking up his own team and he was confident. And he's confident for a reason. Because if this is a good Sheffield United side, and it's going to have to be, to stand a chance of beating a very good Nottingham Forest side as well. But also, you just need that little bit of ego, I think, to be a professional sports person. And why not, ego in a good way, why not let it shine through? Why not be confident? So I was really pleased to hear Morgan speaking in those sort of terms.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've covered the club for a lot longer than myself, and obviously I'm just in off the substitute bench at the minute, but it feels like, obviously, with
Hecky... Very good warm-up, though, Steve. You've had a very good warm-up, mate.
Definitely. Well, with Hecky and his three promotions in his last three campaigns, and obviously with the fact they've won three in a row heading into the playoffs, and, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White arguably is one of the best players in the league, if not right up there with the best, the mood just seems quite self-assured around the place.
And it should be. Again, it should be. It's not taking anything for granted. As I've said, it's not looking past Nottingham Forest, but it's just being confident in your own abilities. You know, everyone at Sheffield United recognises that Nottingham Forest are a very good team. Every Sheffield United supporter recognises that Nottingham Forest are a very good team. But Nottingham Forest's squad will recognise that Sheffield United are a very good team too. Nottingham Forest's fans will recognise that Sheffield United are a very, very good team too. There's been nothing between these two sides when they met twice in the league. I never quite know whether I should say it last season or this season, but you understand what I mean. There's been nothing between them. Both matches have finished in 1-1 draws, and they've been tight, hard-fought games as well. Sheffield United have caused Nottingham Forest real problems over the course of those 180 minutes or so. Nottingham Forest have caused Sheffield United real problems during those 180 minutes or so. So you don't want to be going into this game with any sort of obvious chinks in your armoury. And one of those is a lack of confidence.
Yeah. Just on that note, I suppose, the fact that they are flying, how do you see this one, you know, the tie being played out? I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be too cagey, to be totally honest.
Yeah, you almost would sort of resort to tight, wouldn't you, and think, well, you know, maybe for the first half hour or something like that, it's going to be quite conservative, because there is, of course, a second leg to come at the City Ground on Tuesday. But I think I tend to agree with you, Steve. I think even if that's the way the game begins, I think eventually both clubs, I think their own sort of personalities will get the better of them. And I think they'll revert to type. And so they should, because Sheffield United haven't been on the run that they've been on by being conservative during games. Neither have Nottingham Forest. So I think, yeah, I don't know how this double header is going to pan out. I genuinely don't. I know how I'd like it to pan out. And what I will say is, after my prediction last week that Sheffield United won't be 3-0 up against Fulham after half an hour, what I'm going to do is now is I'm going to predict that there is absolutely no way that Nottingham Forest will win this tie. If you understand where I'm coming from. But the one thing I can say is I think this is going to be a really, really good two games of football. I genuinely do. I think you've got two really informed teams. I know Nottingham Forest, you can look at where there's a loss and a draw, but they played really well in that game against Bournemouth, I thought. Showed a lot down there. And then last week, you look at perhaps some of Steve Cooper's selections and think he probably had one eye on the semi-finals. Sheffield United obviously come into this on the back of three straight wins and a 4-0 thumping of Fulham, who won the title. I'm just really looking forward to it. I'm genuinely looking forward to this, not only as a journalist, but as a football fan as well, because I think this could be a really, really enthralling game.
Yeah. Injury updates. I think Heckingbottom, I've written down Coy here.
He always is as well. Yeah.
Pretty tight-lipped on Billy Sharp and his fitness. So perhaps it's fair to say we can expect Illeman Jai and Gibbs White to start again against Forest on Saturday.
And they should start again. It's very rare. Listen, this one's probably going to come back and bite me on the backside as well. I can't see Billy Sharp playing a part in these games. And it's very rare I would say this if Billy Sharp was actually fit, which I don't believe he is. But I think the way that Illiman, at this point in time, I think Illiman and Morgan would, you know, deserve to start. And I don't just mean deserve to start as a pat on the back for them and a rub the head, because they've both done really, really well in recent weeks. Illiman Jai scored, what is it now, 4 in 5. Morgan Gibbs-White has consistently been one of the most creative and devastating players at the football club this season. They've got a really good partnership together. They clearly enjoy playing alongside each other as well. And do you know what? I think this is the other reason why I'm pleased to see that they will probably be starting alongside each other for Sheffield United in this game, is because in football in this day and age, there's something that I call the cult of the coach, where everything is automatically attributed to a manager. A player's done this in the game, that happened in a game. Oh, it's because the manager did this, it's because the manager did that, it's because the coach did this. He's brilliant. He said this 3 weeks ago in a press conference. So that means that something happened, you know, nearly a month later in a game. I don't go in for all of that. Football is ultimately about players. It's about footballers. And there is this tendency, I think, at the moment to almost suffocate creativity with tactics and really in-depth strategies and people talking about, you know, oh, if this formation against that formation, and if he runs there or she runs there and he goes there. I'm interested in it to a point, but beyond that, it just bores me to tears. And I think it does a lot of people out there as well. I think a lot of it is stuff and nonsense talks by people who are trying to make themselves sound more intelligent than they actually are. The great thing about football is when you see moments of individual brilliance, moments of individual magic. You don't want to see creativity, the type of which Morgan Gibbs-White and Illiman and Jai have got, suffocated under a 1,000-page handbook on tactics. You don't. You want them to go out there, play with a smile on their face, produce a moment of magic. That's what those two players can do. That's what they have been doing. And I often think in games that you look at these two fixtures coming up on paper, often think in games as tight as this, that can be what could settle the tie.
Yeah. I mean, after one field, a little bit more relaxed, just based on what Heckenbottom said about he actually sees Njai as a centre forward. He's not panicking about the lack of a recognised, fit and available senior striker. And you're right, I think, on the flair, sort of that theme you were touching on there. I think Gibbs-White said it himself. He'd be the same if he was with his friends, you know, just having a bigger...
I'll tell you what as well, Steve, there's an awful lot of centre-forwards wouldn't have minded going into a playoff campaign scoring 4 and 5.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, definitely. I was going to ask you for a prediction at the end of this, but is that a wise idea?
Well, I've given you it earlier, haven't I, after I made such a complete mess of it last week. I've given you it there. No, genuinely... I don't know how this double header is going to pan out. I really don't. And the reason I say that is I think you can make a case for both teams winning it. I think you can genuinely do that. You can identify things in both their sort of armouries that would lead you to believe that they are going to be the team to go through. So I think it will come down to those sort of moments of individual brilliance, or it could come down to that. And what I will say is, that's why I'm really, really pleased that Sheffield United have got players who can produce those.
Well, I'm going to go out there and back Sheffield United, but we'll see. Hopefully that one doesn't backfire on me anyway. That's all for this week. Make sure you stay tuned to the latest Sheffield United news on the Sheffield Star website, as well as our social media pages. Cheers.